Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go into Luke chapter 1. Actually, we're going to read about the account of how Mary just makes this encounter. And my message today is, let every heart prepare him room. That's one of those Christmas carols we said, let every... Well, we're going to find out whether there's room in your heart for him today. And so it's the story of the account of Mary encountering, having one of the greatest encounters that ever mankind would ever have to endure. And so we find it in chapter 1, verse 26. And you get the responding verses on the screen behind you. And we're just so thankful for that. So it starts out like this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Read that again. Somebody read it one more time. All right. Okay, now how about the last verse? And this is what Mary says. Everybody read this together. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. It's going to be according to God's word today. According to what he said. I'm not up for suggestions today. We're going to do it like God wants it done. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I am just overwhelmed today of the whole idea is that we have the opportunity to let every heart in this room to prepare room for Jesus. Lord, I'm not just talking about just a salvation experience, but for him to take over, for him to be the master and the controller of our lives in everything we say and do. Lord God, it's not just for the Christmas season, it's for every day of our life. We need to make room for Jesus to do what he wants to do. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be in this message today. It would impart grace and love and peace and honor to every heart that's in here. And Lord, we leave this place a different people that we would know how we can serve and love you all the days of our life. We thank you for all these things. We give praise to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Well, the miracle of the birth of Jesus is one of those things that some people don't even like to talk about. They don't want to talk about, you know, Jesus in the manger and this type of thing. But we're going to talk about the miraculous part of where there had to be a decision that was made. And that decision, we're going to follow it, find it in several different places. But here we go. It says, but very simply put, there is a word of the Lord concerning Jesus and the acceptance of the word in the heart of the believer and the action of the Holy Spirit to bring forth new life. If that had not happened, there'd been no Jesus. God has prepared a word for you to receive in your heart that will transform you. That Jesus can come alive in you today. You say, well, I've already done that. Well, we'll see by the time we finish this message. Just like the miracle of the virginal conception in the womb of Mary is the miracle of conception in the heart of a believer. Here's the things we're going to talk about today. Number one, have you come to the realization of the favor of God in your life to have a relationship with Jesus? You are, every person here in here that knows Jesus is highly favored. You say, what does that mean? Well, we're going to describe that for you, because I think sometimes we discount that. And it's like, well, yeah, I know Jesus, but I struggle with this and I struggle with that. Folks, let me tell you, by the time you leave this building today, my hope and desire is, because of the impacting power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you no longer question whether you are favored of God, and you'll walk in the authority that God has given you. You've been empowered with the Word of God, and the Word of God lives in you right now. Is there anything greater than the Word of God? Absolutely not. Second question I would just pose to you is this. Does the miracle of Jesus in your life inspire you to share him with others? I need to find out why you're so quiet about it. If Jesus has really changed you, why don't you tell somebody about it? This isn't a secret that you just, oh, I've got him here and he's right here. He's sequestered away in my heart. You need to let him out. Let him tell the story. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three. To know Jesus, we will have three things happen. Number one, a visitation. Number two, an invitation. And number three, a dedication. That's what you've experienced if you really know Jesus. Well, let's get into the story. And actually, we're going to go, you'll think we'll kind of digress for a moment. Not really. Rejoice, highly favored one. We're going to go to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I'll tie this together in a moment. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, how are you going to tie these two things together? They are so tied together. It's just sometimes a mystery to me. Sometimes we don't get it. Well, we are highly favored when we come under the influence of the spirit of seeking out Jesus. And here's this Nicodemus guy, head of the Jews, very well revered. But, you know, he's saying, you know, sir, there's something about Jesus. There's something about him that's totally different. And I want to get to know him. Anybody want to get to know Jesus better today? I believe that's why you're here. Well, Nicodemus sought after Jesus regardless of his status in life. I mean, he's a leader of the Jews, whatever that might mean. But he was captured with a couple of things. He says, there's something about you that when you're around, miracles happen. I want to deputize you today that because of Jesus in your life, miracles can happen. You say, what? Because of who Jesus is in your life, miracles are available, and God wants to use you to bring them about. Oh my goodness. I thought we were talking about Mary had a little lamb. No, we're not going to talk about it. Nice little, you know, whatever. But no, he resolved that the only God could do the things that were coming forth out of Jesus' life. He says, there's something about you, Jesus. I need to get to know you, because nobody can do what you do unless God's with him. I want to tell you that you're favored today because God is with you, and there is no limit to what God wants to do through you because of Jesus. Well, embarking upon this, his pursuit of Jesus was prompted by the favor of God that rested upon Jesus' life. And one of the things, discoveries that we'll make, and we'll draw in this parallel between this man and Mary, is that when God rests upon your life, things change. Anybody been changed since they met Jesus? Now, if your hand didn't go up, you got a problem. And I don't know who you got a hold of, but it wasn't Jesus. You need to check it out, because when Jesus comes, everything, I remember, Drew, remember that song, Everything Changed? Remember that? Everything changed when Jesus came into my life? Not something changed, everything changed. And that's important for us, because your perspective and the way that you operate, it must change, because there's new ownership and a new managership in your life. Well, the pursuit of Jesus was prompted by favor that rested upon Jesus' life. The presence of Jesus will open the hearts of men to truth. truth. That means that Jesus will be sought after when those are looking for a genuine encounter of love and grace. Well, here's the thing that I find that it will be a challenge for us as Christmas just kind of gets closer and closer for us to really kind of, get involved. There's no room for Jesus many times in our hearts or in our schedule. Call it your heart, call it your schedule, call it whatever you want. But we've displaced him, and I don't think it's anything necessarily vindictive or anything that we did on purpose, but because of the way our society functions, we sometimes just kind of forget the real reason of why we celebrate Jesus. Well, the heart of the seeker must be open to discover life and love in a new dimension. Well, when we engage, and this is there's a word that kind of captured my attention. It says, rejoice, highly favored one. Rejoice. What makes you rejoice? Now, if I gave you some money, I know you'd be rejoicing. You'd be turning a few left. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take you a little deeper than that. When we engage in rejoicing, we are choosing to allow our deepest feelings to express delight and hope. And so the angel appears to her and he says, rejoice, highly favored one. You know, God is with you. Have you ever got up in the morning and you're just filled with joy over the fact of realizing if nothing else is true, God is with me? I want to implant that in your spirit right now. If everything has gone wrong or seemingly is going wrong and finances aren't what they should be and kids are acting crazy and all that kind of thing, you can still rejoice. God is still with you. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You need to rejoice in the midst of whatever's going on because he's still there. Well, that means that it says we choose to acknowledge the favor that we were not expecting. I just wanted to paint a scenario for you. So here's this, you know, little virgin girl. And the part I kind of get into is all of a sudden an angel comes. It doesn't really mark down here that she's like, you know, having a real problem with the angel. But rejoice, highly favored one. The thing that caught her attention is, how can you call me favored? I'm just... From what we understand of her status as far as wealth was concerned, she was not a wealthy person. But I want to show you in this particular analogy here of why she was willing to make room for Jesus. So that was one thing. We often rejoice in favor that we can find no reason that it should have come our way. I know when I married up. Ain't no reason she should have looked my way. Thank God he blinded her for a moment. And before she knew it, there I was. In all of my lack of splendor and glory. Jerusha will tell you, Jerusha is her sister. I had an eclectic taste in haberdashery. Stripes. Polka dots, what? Hey, it's clothes, isn't it? Put it on, you ain't naked. You good. So she helped me. I'm highly favored now, bless his name. We experience a level of grace that we can find no reason why it should have been bestowed on us. I need to tell you something right now. There is no reason why you are as blessed as you are right now. You cannot figure it out. If you tell me you're blessed because you deserve it, you are crazy. God has done some things in your life that you should have been dead and buried in your grave, but somehow you are living today because of God's grace. You are highly favored of God. I don't want you to leave here with any idea, well, you know, God just had to do that. No, he didn't. And for those of you who are silly enough to think you deserve it, oh my, we really need to talk. God bless you. Well, but here's a challenge. Fear will often challenge the favor that we've experienced. Here's a couple realities of fear is, of course, the idea that you may figure out you don't deserve it. Or how about this one? It won't last. When's it going to go away? Some of you are paranoid today over the idea that, you know, you're worried about, you know, finances or your job or relationships, this type of thing. Well, what happens if it goes away? But he says to her, rejoice, highly favored of God. I want to tell you about what God's favor looks like in a situation. Whatever God has said is going to happen, it's going to come to pass as he has said it's going to come to pass. But this challenge is, Mary had a more difficult time with what the angel said rather than the encounter with a heavenly being. In other words, the words of favor and blessing will often raise questions as to why it is coming our way. I look back over my life and I'm so grateful to the Lord, and I mean this with all sincerity. I never in my wildest imagination believed that I would be able to do or go or have some of the things I have in this particular thing, and all glory goes to God. I mean, if you look back in the history just of, you know, where I came from, I was from Southeast Portland. We were poor. Wasn't poor, we were poor. Couldn't afford the other O-R, poor. Okay? Matter of fact, I remember one time my mom went to a thrift store and she had $2 or something like this, and she bought me a pair of pants. But they're Cub Scout pants. I'm not in the Cub Scouts, right? And these blue Cub Scout pants that were high water. You know, and I've been a person of size all of my life. Okay, I'm a big boy, okay? But I'll tell you what. I put on them pants, and I was at school, and I reached in the pocket. And you know what was in the pocket of them pants? $5. $5 back in that day. I was a rich man. I pulled that $5 out, and then all of a sudden, Miss Johns looking, where'd you get that money from? Now, you cannot tell anybody this. If you folks use this name again, you're going to die a terrible death. They called me Dickie. Yeah. Yeah. I've suffered a lot. Where did you get that $5 from? And then I'm looking around thinking, from my pocket? Because mama didn't give it to me. Well, it was actually in the pants pocket of the... That lady took my $5. Oh, yes, she did. Took me down to the principal's office, this type of thing. Then of course, we had to go state evidence of that we didn't have it. It was in the pocket that we bought, this type of thing. And then everybody knew my secret. Well, but I still had $5. So do with it what you will. Sometimes favor will cost you a little something, but it's okay. Well, let me go on with the story. I know you can store that way. Remember, no more Dickie, okay? We got that? Good. Our insecurities will often challenge the blessing that is about to be given to us. Because Mary, she gets this, hail, favored one, blessed are you among women. And she's kind of looking around, me? Favor? I want you to change your perspective on who you thought you were when you walked through these doors, and I want you to accept God's description of who you are as you prepare room for him in your heart. Well, finding favor with God can only be defined when we consider the gift of Jesus. Now, her parents didn't determine the favor, but Mary found favor by meeting the basic qualifications of what had been prophesied regarding the one who would be a candidate to bring Jesus into the world. And here's what's interesting about that. If you look into Isaiah, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. She's a virgin. And she's chosen. There's not a whole lot of definition. There's not a whole lot of pre-qualifications as far as that's concerned. But I want to tell you how Jesus is formulated in your heart. The purity of ready or of availability to receive Jesus is the most primary thing that you can do. Other than that, the qualifications, it is what it is. It didn't say a rich version, poor version. Of course, the prophecy of what house and lineage was going to come from, that was to come to be. But the idea behind it is the qualifications. She says, I don't fit the profile. Well, the pronouncer of the angel says, you will conceive. I want you to look at your life right now and come to the place of what God says about you, and you say, that'll never happen to me. I just don't think I'll ever be able to do that. I want you to remember, when the angel or the word of the Lord comes to you, God does not give suggestions. He gives statements of fact. And there's things that you thought could never be produced in your life. He says, but the angel says, you will conceive. Well, unpack it a little bit more and you'll come to this conclusion. It's a defining moment that let her know that God was satisfied with her being the chosen one. But this is one thing I want you to hang on to. If you don't hang on to anything else, think of this. When God grants favor, he has made up his mind what he's going to do. God isn't like me or you. They said, I was going to give something to him, but you know, what they did ticked me off. I'm not going to give them anything. See, there's some people you took off your Christmas list. You gave him something last year, but no, I ain't giving her nothing this year. No. She didn't return my phone call. I emailed her. She never got it. I ain't giving her nothing. That's you. But I want to tell you how God works. When God grants favor, he's made up his mind. The enemy is the one that will come in and say, try to make you think that you can earn favor, but you can't. Oh boy. A little bit further. Favor empowers us to perform miracles by yielding ourselves totally to the word that God has spoken over us in faith. You're not qualified. You're not capable. You're not smart enough, this type of thing. But God says, wait a minute. But I chose you. And that's good enough. Complexes that we have as people, and I think all of us are a little bit broken as far as that's concerned, because there are things in life that either we've felt like we've either wanted or we thought we'd never get. But God says, wait a minute, I'm going to do something. And it's because, only because I'm God, but I need to have one thing from you, cooperation. Let's look at that piece. We get to the place, how can this be? Go back to John for a moment, John chapter 3, verses 4, 7, and 8. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I don't want you to get upset with John for even saying something like that, because obviously we said, well, that's absolutely impossible. Why would you say something that ridiculous? But you know something? He has such a belief in Jesus at this particular point of what Jesus has done, miracles he's seen happen. He says, well, if this guy could open blind eyes, I guess if a person needed to be born again and enter his mother's womb, I guess he could do that too. You know what I find out with us? We need to take the limitations that we put on Jesus, take them off. No, I'm going to say it again. So some people are still processing. What's he talking about here? Stay with me. God wants to take the limitations that you put off of him. He wants you to remove them because our God can do anything. Is there anything impossible with God? The answer is no. So anyway, he goes this dialogue. He says, do not marvel at what I said to you. You must be born. He said, he didn't even address the issue. He says, don't stress over this. Just listen to what I said. You must be born again. And then he goes and he gives them verse 8. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In just a few words, he gives a definition. He's talking about spiritual birth. But at the same time, there's some things that need to happen to us in these next few moments, I think, that will clear up some misunderstandings we've had about God, about the principles of the kingdom of God, and a few other things. Well, Nicodemus struggled with some of the same issues that Mary struggled with, and this is how it works. Nicodemus was talking to Jesus about a miraculous birth that defied all explanation for him. Jesus says, you must be born again. He immediately goes to what he knows, the physical aspect. You must be born again. And Jesus says, no. Talk about spirit. But what about Mary? Mary, logic and reason must be sidelined when it comes to making room for Jesus to be born in us. Logic and reason must be sidelined when it comes to the fact of Jesus being born in us. Now, notice I'm not saying that you need to cast aside the fact of you know, the person you are, but logic and reason will keep you from making room for Jesus in your heart. Because logic is, oh, it'll never work. Oh, or why would God do this for me? And some of us are in this room today are stuck, and my goal is in the spiritual realm that when we leave here today, we're going to get ourselves in this place of being stuck to the place where whatever Jesus has said he's going to do in your life, you're going to be able to receive it. Say, you know, Lord, I receive that. It's going to happen in me, and it's going to happen today. Well, let's look a little bit further. We must be willing to accept the word of the Lord into our spirit. Now, here's the miracle. She says, how can this thing be? I've never been with a man. How's it going to happen? Well, she's open to the Spirit, but she has some questions. First, she's willing to receive the word of the Lord over her life. And without a show of hands, I don't want anyone to show their hands right now. I want you to show your heart. Are you willing in your heart today to prepare room for Jesus to do what he's always wanted to do in you? Don't raise your hand. How about opening your heart? And then consider this. She's willing, but she says, wait a minute. I'm a virtuous woman. I'm engaged to somebody to be married. Holy Spirit says to him, or the angel says to him, he says, don't worry about that. What you can't figure out, the Holy Spirit's already got taken care of. But the word I love about this, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and here's the word, don't forget it, overshadow you. Cover every area of your life where there's been question. It will overshadow, it will give you a surrounding over that particular piece where you no longer have to wonder about it. It will take care of all the things that are outside the lines, and the only thing you're going to see is the presence of Jesus able to do things that you thought could never be done. I'm praying for that overshadowing experience to be ours. Well, in order for supernatural presence of God to be in our life, we must be willing to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, which means this. The Holy Spirit must have priority over every part of our life. That's a good amen spot. Now let me tell you what you said amen to. Every area of your life? Every area of your life? Every area of your life? Now, I remember back in the 60s, we were rather spiritual. Well, I don't think we're spiritual. I think we're kind of silly, stupid. But we wanted to pray about everything. Pray about whether we should get up. Whether we should go to work, whether we should get a job. You don't need to pray over that one, baby. You want to eat, get you a job, sweetheart. You know, there are ravens that could bring things to the doorstep, that type of thing. But there's a good possibility God may want you out there to do this. So, you know, you have to be reasonable in some things. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit, it says, he's going to come upon you and he's going to do some supernatural things for you where you know that it's God. Here's how it works. in order to be the supernatural presence, the Holy Spirit must have priority over every part of our life. He desires to have access to the most intimate and secret places of our heart. You've heard it. You've probably even said it. Let Jesus come into your heart. What does that mean? Well, somehow we visualize this organ in our body, and we kind of, I guess, position ourselves to believe that that's kind of the central focus, because, I mean, obviously it controls all the functions of our body, and if it stops working, we don't function. But I wanted you to take a whole different look at this. The Holy Spirit's presence will overshadow every part of you. Your mind, your will, your emotions. That's who you really are. And that overshadowing presence is something that God really wants to do in a very magnanimous way to us. Well, favor will never have an impact on our lives if we are not willing to yield to the workings of the Holy Spirit, which means this: the overshadowing presence of that God desires access to every part of our being. In order for Jesus to come into our life, he must have complete access to all of us. I want to believe, but help my unbelief. I'll be honest enough to say it. There are some times I don't believe. You know, you can be all religious and say, well, I believe God all the time. You're lying. You're just lying. Help you. But in that moment that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, something happened. And before we finish, I hope that I'll be able to at least articulate it to you. I can't make anything happen. But here's what I see. The overshadowing presence of the Spirit will allow us to realize how much we need him. Amen. We haven't sung this song in a while. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. If you could make that the song, really, of confession, I believe the overshadowing presence of God and the favor of God would mean a whole lot more to us in an inclination of really receiving what God has while overshadowing. Mary gave permission to the Holy Spirit to produce Jesus in her. Well, let me get to this last little piece and I'll be done. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Some of you can repeat it by heart, but I want to apply it to this situation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me stop there. Some of us will get caught up with the idea of reasonable because we'll try to define that for God. Well, I think it's reasonable that I should try to make it to church at least twice a month. With my schedule the way it is, and I just don't want to get too religious, I think twice a month is great. Really? You're going to tell God what reasonable looks like. Okay. But first of all, let's go to start the very first part. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. His mercies are renewed to me and to you every morning. So before you make any decision as to how much or what you're going to do for God, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living, read that word for me. Sacrifice. What's the sacrifice do? Well, most sacrifices, according to the law, they were dead. Ready to be burned or whatever is going to happen. Sacrifice is not the idea of you having an opinion. Well, I just don't think it takes all of that. I think God's disrespectful of my time. He knows what I can do and what I just can't do. I'm going to move on from there because that's a trap. It's going to get me. But here's a word that'll get you and gets me. H-O-L-Y. Holy. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I believe Paul put that in there for when he put on the reasonable service. It wasn't a trap. It wasn't some, you know, bait and switch thing. But I believe he was saying some very specific things about you. What's going to happen in the next verse, and then I'm just about done. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me finish this real quickly. Mary was willing to give herself completely over to the Lord. If you go to verse 38 of what we read, it says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. We declare ourselves to be a servant of the Lord. We're willing to submit to the word of the Lord. We welcome the word of the Lord to be birthed in us. That's really what she did. Question is, can Jesus be born in you today? So I didn't ask if you were born again. But I'm talking about the real life of what Jesus wants to do to transcend all the things and plans that you've made in your life. Can he be born in you today? As the team comes up here, I want to give these last closing words on this whole message. Paul exhorted us to be present, to present our whole body to the Lord, that we must be willing to sacrifice anything that does not come into alignment with God's will and purpose for our lives. Can I repeat that for you? We must be willing to sacrifice anything that does not come into alignment with God's will and purpose for our lives. Now, I can tell you right now, some of you know already there are things you're doing or entertaining doing that do not come into alignment with God's purpose for your life. You don't have to raise your hand. Just say, oh, help me, Jesus. So it's not like we don't know. But if you're going to prepare a room for Jesus, that's got to go. How about the second thing I'll say to you? We must be willing to accept God's plan that may include complications that we cannot explain. That's interesting. And how about this? We must present our bodies to the Lord for his service to do with as he pleases. Well, God's reasonable service will not fit into the conformity of the world. It means this, that serving the Lord will not fit into worldly values. Well, I'm out of time, so let me tell you this. Preparing room for Jesus, I'll remind you of this, we're highly favored that he would even want to dwell in us. Secondly, all we have to do is to yield to his plan. And lastly, the Holy Spirit will do all that's necessary for Jesus to come forth. Everybody bow your heads. And I want to pray something that I believe that God wants to do for everybody here. For Jesus to come forth, you say, well, that was a physical thing. It was Jesus and his advent, him coming to save us. But right here, this morning, there are people in this room that says, you know what? I want Jesus to come forth in my life in a whole new dimension. And I believe that he wants to do that. With your heads bowed, I'm going to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to give an invitation to some folks to say, you know what? Not only do I need to make room for Jesus, I need to make him a priority in my life. Father, I sense this morning, Lord God, a drawing of your Holy Spirit that's overshadowing, if we allow him to, every question, every doubt, every fear that would say, I can't do this. Because, Lord, we've made selections, we've made priorities, we've done things in our lives that we know right now that are contrary to what you want. And Lord, in order for us to prepare room for you, there are things and choices that we've made that must go. Lord, give us the grace, give us the humility, give us the desire to let go. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, God is speaking to you right now. It's not an abstract, it's something very specific that you've held on to for a long time. And the only thing it's doing is displacing the place where Jesus belongs in your life. For some of you, you've never turned your life over to Jesus. For others of you that believe you have, it's a hindrance to you being all that Jesus wants you to be. Let me ask you that question. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. So you're a pastor, yep, that's me. Just be honest about it. Just be honest. Don't just pretend like you don't hide. Leave it up there for a moment. Make the devil real mad.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.